when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever all you precious Blood River Radio supporters are and all you Blood River Radio listeners that are listening in today. I hope you do become supporters and following Blood River Radio. That's right. We are Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated nationwide and even worldwide by Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman and crew, Jay and Miss Teenage America and all of our group. It takes many, 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 many people to keep this program going out. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And listen, let me look at my calendar. It is March the 29th. It's the last Saturday. This is the last broadcast we will be doing here in March of 2025. Next week, Saturday, the 5th, would be the day before my birthday, folks. April the 6th. I was born April the 6th, 1947. It was Easter Sunday then. And I jokingly tell people I'm not going to celebrate my birthday until Easter Sunday. I don't if they can move Easter around, they can move my birthday around. But I'm not going to be quite that arrogant, but that was just joking. But anyway, you know, people, we're going to do things just a little bit differently for the sake of the broadcast. We're going to switch. We're going to reverse. We're going to give the donors first and then the prayer. And when we do that, when we do it, you'll know why I reversed that, okay? people, and I don't think I gave the date just in case I did. Hey, I'm old and there's a lot of things, stuff going on. March the 29th, the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. There's no name under the sun which man could be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. Listen, we're going to give, excuse this hack. I promise you, I was interviewed by five doctors last week at one time. As soon as they'll ever get this surgery done, I can get off these five medicines I'm on. And one of the side effects is that it causes a hellacious cough. Anyway, so please bear with me. Anyway, the donors this week, I love them so much. We have the Sasquatch. Sasquatch and Mrs. Sasquatch from the swamps of Florida. I intended to call him. I was at the VA 3 days last week. It's just eating up my time. But anyway, they do see me like a celebrity out there. They really do. If you're old and you run marathons at the VA, you're hanging around a bunch of cripples and stuff. And if you can even walk without a walker, you're doing pretty good out there. Anyway, I've got this little note from Hank, and a.k.a. Sasquatch, and he said, love you, brother. And he gave it, and I love you too, Sasquatch. I really do. You're a wonderful, wonderful person. And thank you for that support. He's been supporting us from day one. He used to be, and he still supports us at St. Jude, too. I'm a big St. Jude fundraiser, you might know. And we have the dear, precious Miss Buddy, who donates like clockwork. She does that. She loves our program, but also she does it mainly because Mr. Buddy loved our program. Mr. Buddy loved me. I loved him. We just really meshed. There was nobody like Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy Kirtland, I think he was a genius. I really do. But he was the man. I wished I was as smart when I was 16 as he was when he was 96. We also have Ken, Big Ben. Ken Burroughs donates just like clockwork, man. We call him Big Ben because he never misses a month, sometimes two or three times a month. And listen, we have Old Biscuit. He's also down in the swamps of Florida. I think he's going to be listening tonight. But without people like Biscuit, there would be no Blood River Radio. I guarantee you. And listen, I'm really excited. We have a new supporter and a new listener, a new supporter. It's Darlene of Indiana. She's ordered one of our books, a booklet, Dark Medicine. And I will be sending that out, God willing, Monday. I've already got it. I've already autographed it. But we'll be sending that out. We're also going to be sending one out to Sister Jane, the Bluegrass Buzzsaw. I think that's it. I don't think I missed anybody. That was Sasquatch, Miss Buddy, Big Ben, Biscuit, and Darlene of Indiana. So, people, we are going to be, if we can get him hooked back up, if we can get him on the line, we had him hooked up, Jay had him on the IPDTL line. If we can get him hooked up, we're still going to do honoring South Africa. But our guest, Jornet, he is from South Africa. We had him hooked on. I don't know what happened. But, oh, great. We got him on board. Great, 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 great. I think he will like we always do a prayer on Blood River Radio, but we usually do the donors after the prayer. This time we did the prayer, the donors, then we do the prayer. And I think you'll know why. Because we're honoring South Africa in the Battle of Blood River, December 16th, 1838. So people, if you will, bow your head and please listen to the prayer. We stand here before the holy God of heaven and earth to make a vow to him that if he will protect us and give our enemy into our hand, we shall keep this day and date every year as a day of thanksgiving like a Sabbath. And then we shall build a house to his honor wherever it should please him, and that we will also tell our children that they should share in that with us in memory for the future generations. For the honor of his name will be glorified by giving him the fame and honor of the glory, God Almighty. And I'll add, thank you, Jesus, for saving those people. Less than 500 white Afrikaners defeated 35,000 bloodthirsty feral animal Zulus on the banks of Blood River, December 16th, 1838. And people, that was an impossible act, but nothing with God Almighty is impossible. And I'm telling you, people, that just as the God Almighty saved our white brothers and sisters 187 years ago on the banks of Blood River, he can do the same with us. So don't tell me about your crappy political systems. Don't tell me how your stupid Donald Trump's going to save you. You're putting your trust in all these damn politicians, most of them bought off by the Jew. It's always the Jews. It's always Jews all the time. They're all bought off by the Jews. Stop putting your faith in these damn politicians. Put them in God Almighty, just like our brothers and sisters did all those years ago. And just like our guest coming on, our guest is Jornet coming on. I'm going to let him introduce himself, his name. He is an ancestor of these people from South Africa, and it's such an honor to have him on. And before I bring him on, I would like to give due honor to my little sister, Monica Schaefer. She did all the legwork. She did all the work getting in touch with Jordan to get him on. But also I would like to honor my brother, Rich Hamlin, who I went to the Battle of Charlottesville that fateful day, August the 12th of 2017. He is the one that was listening to my little sister, Monica's broadcast on RBN, and he forwarded the broadcast and told me, Eddie, you have to listen to this guy. I listened to him, and I hope he doesn't take offense when I say this. This man is a fire-breathing son of a bitch, just like yours truly, Eddie Miller, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We don't screw around trying to play politicians, trying to play footsies with all these faggot politicians, because we know what the answer is going to be. There's going to be no political solution to save us from our people. The Jew will never allow that. There's only one way, and we're going to talk about that later. We're getting ready to go to a break, but before we go to our first break, I would like to get our guest to introduce our honored guest to introduce himself. Go ahead, Jornet.
Thank you very much, Eddie. It's an honor to be joined here with you, sir, and with your audience to be able to speak to you. It's beautiful that you said the prayer that was said at Blood River. It's something that's a beautiful testimony to our God, to our people, and to what will happen once we realize again who our enemy is and who our only real allies in the struggle is, namely other white people. My name is Johannes Achenbach. I am a seventh generation farmer from South Africa. I am still a farmer and a political activist, and I stand for the freedom of my people, and my main political prerogative is unifying people behind the political will to reclaim South Africa for the white man, because this is the land and the country that God has given to us.
Yes, yes. And before we go to a break, you know, dear brother, I've always told people, if you look in the King James Version, the Bible, and you look at all the things that God hates, maybe I can look it up if I have time later, on the top list are the adulterers, the thieves, the sorcerers. He lists the number one hated person on the list is the damn coward. So, and we'll be right back, people. We'll be right back after this message. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Dear Blood River Radio, hey, I hope you all have your asbestos underwear on. I hope you have your crash helmets on, because we're not going to pull any punches. You know what? And I'm going to say this one more thing, and we're going to talk about what me and Yolandis said. We have a conversation the other day. But you know what? The people I despise more than I do the Jew. The Jew is he's Satan's officer corps. He's the representative of Satan on earth. But who I despise more than the Jew? And I despise more than these ignorant, these dumb, feral blacks. I despise race traitors, and I despise cowards who will aid and abet the Jew in their watered down, mealy mouth, stupid podcast and radio shows. I hate those people. They're worse enemy. If when we ever get into the battle, if we ever get hot, a hot war, my first and last bullet and my last bayonet thrust is going to be for those people. Anyway, me and Yolandis, we talked, had a pretty good conversation last week. We talked about politics, how useless politics are, and the only use he said for politics was to gather people behind a cause. We talked about, we had many things in common. I had told Rich Hammond I was almost South Africa'd out, but when I met this guy here, I said, man, he's a fire-eating SOB just like me. We instantly bonded. So go ahead, young man. Just take it over from there, brother. Tell us what we talked about and anything else you have to say.
Amazing. So, yeah, that's quite the introduction or you know, to the conversation. I do agree. You know, cowardice is It is something that is, it's so despicable, and it's dishonorable. It goes against the grain of everything that's good and godly, and it's ultimately a very destructive force for our people. Now, I suppose I'd like to do preface what I'm about to say with the story of what gave birth to the Groot Trek and the Battle of Blood River, ultimately, if you think about it. There was a man named Cornelis Besuidenhout. He was on the eastern borders, close to where Somerset East in South Africa is today. And one of the blacks in those days accused him of not paying just wages. And a court date was set, and he was to be apprehended by the local law enforcement, but he didn't bother. He was ultimately arrested for contempt of court. And when the police showed up to arrest him for contempt of court, he resisted arrest. Now, he was shot and killed for that. Now, many people, and to this day, right now as we speak, farmers are being rounded up and arrested throughout the country for the most mundane things as a way of making a political statement and intimidating the white man. And everybody will say that, you know, today, that Cornelis Besuidenhout was stupid. It was dumb of him not to comply with the police. But I think that it was deeply profound in that he showed principle. And the principle to not be oppressed by injustice and not to have tyranny, you know, reign supreme, but to remain loyal to his principles. And that sparked actually the Slachtersnack Rebellion, where I don't want to go into the history of that because it will take too long, but it's a beautiful, beautiful tale of our people's resolve, our pursuit of justice. And his brother, Hans Jan Besuidenhout, then refused to give himself after a failed rebellion and after his comrades that took part in the rebellion were hanged. Sorry, I'm not sure about the language on that part, but he refused still to give himself over to the police, and he as well was killed resisting arrest because it was unlawful. Why should they have given themselves over to a court when none of the situation was lawful? And I will always remember, you know, the words when Hans Jan Besuidenhout swore an oath to avenge his brother's death. He said that we will drive the blacks and the English into the sea to create a free republic for the Afrikaner people. So, you know, I think that is a commendable pursuit. I think that is a just pursuit and a principle. And therefore, you know, if we fight for anything in this life and it is not for our own people, then it's not commendable, it's reprehensible, and it should be shunned, not only thrown upon, it should be shunned. So yeah, I think I'll open with that.
That's a great opening. And I was going to ask little Lizzie just a minute, aka Miss Teenage America. I sent her a little audio. It's very short, but it's about one of our precious black feral animals in South Africa. I believe it calls, I think it goes by the name of what, Mandina. We're going to play an audio. It's a blood-curdling audio. Like all of our white people that are always, especially the ones that say, Eddie, you're racist. I have friends that say you're racist. You damn right am. I love my race. But they're going to play this audio of him chanting, kill the boar. I didn't know his name, but I'm notorious for forgetting names. But we'll play that. It's a very short clip when we come back after the next break. But yes, you're right. Joanne's... I've often said on this program here, they had to reel me in sometimes because I don't want to get Sam kicked off the air. But in the end, and I know this may be kind of repeating myself, in the end, we're not going to be able to survive as a people, as a white race, in South Africa, in Germany, in Australia, United States, anywhere there's white people. White people are under attack worldwide. And it's the same enemy, this worldwide enemy. He's an enemy in the heavens. He rules from the bowels of the earth right now until Jesus comes back. And they have one goal in mind. Their goal, their number one goal, it dominates all other goals. It comes before anything else, and that's to exterminate white people from the face of the earth. That they will never rest until we're dead. I think we talked about this the other day, my brother, and they're doing it right now. Don't know if I told you or somebody else that in the lower 48 states in the United States, something like in 39 states, the death rate of white people exceeded the birth rate. Not only are white people not having children because they're being told how bad it is, how evil it is for white people to live, they're being preached that in these Jewish-controlled grammar schools, high schools, universities, social media. Their borders all worldwide have been blown wide open with these dark-skinned, musky-skinned, ugly, white-hating people invading us. They're overpowering us. They're overwhelming us like a damn tidal wave. They're invading everywhere except for their precious Israel. That's the only place that doesn't have open borders. But we talked about that, and we also talked about and I'm going to make this quick. If you look at the Democrat, these ignorant asses that are on the Democratic side, the other equally ignorant asses in the sissy asses, the most of the sissies and the cowards on the Republican Party, they put their faith in law and order, in politics. And I'll give one quick example. Everybody's bitching about these damn federal judges overruling the precious Trump and everything he's tried to do. Well, this is America. You're always chanting USA, USA, USA. That stupid Yankee flag that represents that stupid Yankee government that I heard just the other day. I got to hurry the hell up. Now I heard just yesterday that the military or having their goals of enlistment are just being blown away because so many people are loving this President Trump. They want to go kill, kill, kill for the Jew. But getting back to what you said, yes, when it comes time, the nut cutting, we have to resist arrest. And I hope it doesn't come to them kicking down the doors of Blood River Radio or Liberty News Radio or kicking your door down, Joanne's. I hope it doesn't come to that, but if it does, we have to resist to the last man. We can't give in because in the end, we're all going to die someday anyway, and we have to honor our God. We have to honor our people. We have to fight to the last man and stop. I'll close with this. We have to stop putting our faith in man. We have to turn back to God, just like the Voortrekkers did, the Afrikaners did on the Battle of Blood River 187 years ago. It worked then. It worked now. They didn't trust some stupid politician. They trusted God Almighty, and look what he did. That can save us now. Johannes, what do you think about that, brother?
Oh, absolutely, sir. It can. It's the only thing that can save us is unifying white people and then trusting in our God to save us as white people. And that's actually, you know, I wouldn't say there's no political solution in that I don't believe in politics. I don't believe in a democratic solution. And I'll say it like this. There was a general, a war general. Sorry.
Yes. Hey, Joannes, we have to go to a quick break. People will be right back. Come back to this break. We're going to go back to Joannes. We're going to play a quick clip, and then we're going to bring our brother Rich Hamblin in. Be right back, folks.
Yeah. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Described as utter devastation, the death count just keeps rising in Southeast Asia. Myanmar authorities say the confirmed death toll from that massive earthquake, at least 1,644. But with scores missing, search teams fear those numbers will climb. With rescue efforts underway, teams and equipment have been flown in from other nations, but they're also being hindered now by a number of airports in larger cities that have been damaged and in some cases unfit to land planes. DEI is a thing of the past at the United States Naval Academy.
The U.S. Naval Academy will no longer consider race, ethnicity, or sex as a factor for admission to the service academy. That's according to court documents made public Friday. The change in policy was made in February by Vice Admiral Yvette Davids, the academy's superintendent. According to court filings by the U.S. Justice Department in the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the decision was made in response to an executive order issued by President Trump in January. Keith Peters, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, a Delta flight and an Air Force jet diverted to avoid a potential collision.
Delta Flight 2983 was cleared for takeoff at Reagan Airport in Washington Friday around 3:15. At the same time, four Air Force T-38 Talons were inbound, according to the FAA. Shortly after takeoff, that Delta flight with 131 passengers got an onboard alert of a nearby aircraft. The FAA says air traffic controllers had to issue corrective instructions to both aircraft. The FAA investigating.
It's an unprecedented move. President Trump has withdrawn the nomination of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik to be the next ambassador to the UN. That to help maintain the GOP majority in the House. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hey, it's Mike Gallagher. I want to hear the term living better. What do you think about? More money, a bigger house, maybe a yacht? What about how you feel physically? How do you wake up each day? How do you sleep during the night? What activities you can and cannot do? When you feel good, life is good. So if pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or even eliminate pain. How do I know? Absolutely am a customer. I take Relief Factor daily. No lower back pain for me anymore. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just one phone call, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, relief wherever you're hurting. In 3 weeks or even days, Relief Factor can give you a chance to rediscover the true meaning of living better again. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF for the one and only Relief Factor.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you
have to. Dear Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for holding on. I hope you had your asbestos underwear on. Because you know what? I know there's some theatrics here because I'm just really, really wound up and really emotional. But what we're saying, there's no theatrics. It's really serious, sincere. And I'm going to shut my mouth now. We're going to go back to our precious guest. He's calling in from South Africa. It is about 8, 9, 10. It's about, what, 10:36 there? Is that right, Johannes?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Right. Well, so he stayed up kind of late to be on with us. He's going to be on for another hour. He's going to be on second hour, too. So if you would, go ahead, Johannes, while I'm through with this phone of mine, and answer, respond to that rant I did before the last break. Go ahead, brother.
That was an amazing rant, sir, and I do agree with you in essence that, you know, there was this great general, Prussian general, Karl von Clausewitz, and he said that war is the continuation of politics through other means. Now, that's the thing, you know, that I think we need to rally our people behind. It is an political will. Because if you look all around the white West, the world, the West, Europe, however you want to quantify that or say that, we have no leaders that seek to unify our people behind a political will. And you spoke about, you know, the detriment that our people are in with lower birth rates and higher mortality rates. The fact that more people are dying than there are being born. And I believe that is because we have been robbed of a political will. We as the youth of the white race have no more purpose because we aren't given a purpose anymore. Our purpose is simply to cater to blacks and to non-whites and to Jews and to serve them in everything we do, whether it be our religion, whether it be our economy, whether it be whether it even be with violence. We need to defend them. If we use violence, it must be to secure a future for them. If we do labor, it must be to secure a future for them. If we practice religion, it must be to, you know, evangelize them. But nowhere is there from any of our leaders communicated a clear political will to secure a future for white people. Now that's where I say is the political solution. The political solution is in unifying white people behind a very simple and palatable message such as freedom for the white man, South Africa for the white man, America for the white man. We must understand that political speech is indicative of political will, and that's why it gladdens me that you say you put no trust in the politicians, even the ones that are elected in America now, because they do not say America for the white man. They speak about, you know, abstract concepts, and they speak about the economy and, you know, America as a collection or a nation of ideas, but they do not speak about the Americans. And when I say Americans, I mean the white man in America. You know, so in essentially, this is what we need. We need to unify and invigor our people behind a political purpose and a political will, and then inspire them to enact that which they wish to see in this life. So if it is a white South Africa then we want to see, that we want to see, then all of our spiritual and political pursuits needs to coincide with that. So yes, we are in dire straits all throughout the world because we have no political will, is what I'd like to say.
And you know what? That is amazingly eloquent. That is about as, you know what? You covered a lot of concepts in there that I haven't thought about. But as I thought about, I was listening to you carefully, very carefully. It's so logical. and so with so much wisdom, so much just plain common horse sense, I could not agree more. I could not agree more. And you know what? You said something that I really haven't thought about in the way you said it, my dear brother. You do. You hear all these politicians. We know who they cater to. The top donors of both parties, Republican, Democrat, Republican, you name it. They're all the top donors are Jews. It's Jew. They control the media. They control the high the whole nine yards. So when these politicians get up there, we're talking about, and even their precious Donald Trump, I think he said a few things, good things about South Africa, but he's never really named the white person. But you're absolutely right. I can't remember in my lifetime, and I'll be 78 real soon, next Sunday, as a matter of fact, I'll be 78 years old. Maybe back in 1957, when the Arkansas governor, Orville Faubus, was standing high on the mountains of the Ozarks of Little Rock, of Arkansas, and pleading for people to help to keep the black feral animals from destroying a pristine high school over. Little Rock Central was known all over the United States for its academics, its athletics. It was equal to any high school in the United States, but the United States Army under that Satan Eisenhower sent the I think the 101st Airborne in there to sit at the point of bayonet, sticking bayonets in people's face, white kids' face. Same thing happened a few years later, 1961 in Oxford, Mississippi. Same thing in 1963 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But there's never been a word from any of these politicians going all back to that time. I think George Wallace, the former governor of Alabama, talked about white people. But it's, you know, it's been over 50 years, my brother Joanne's, since I've heard a politician even mention say the word white, except in a derogatory term, except when they anytime they talk about white people in the United States, they talk about white supremacists, racist white people, Nazis. Fear-mongering terrorists, they label us. If you talk about, if you had a politician that did come out and try to say something good, said about white people, and say, hey, and point out the facts, the white race in the United States is going down. We're going on toward extermination. The white race in Germany, France, you name it, South Africa, we're all under attack. We need to do something for white people. After all, like you said, the United States of America was founded by white people for white people. That's the way it was at one time. But when in the hell is the last time we had a politician to say that? Never. And you know why they won't do it? Because they know damn well they don't have to, my brother Joannes. They know that most of our white people, most of our stupid-ass people like these stupid-ass Southern Baptists, they're going to go ahead and they're going to keep worshiping the damn Jew, and they're going to keep worshiping Israel, like, because that's their God. These people, you know, and I consider, of all the white people, I consider the traitors, the race traitors, the Judas goats of their own race, there's none greater than the Judeo-Christian system, especially here in the United States of America. They are our number one enemy. They are more dangerous than the damn Jews. You know what? When it starts, when it hits the fan, when Jesus Christ comes back, their mouth's going to be gaped open just like jerking a fish out of the water, because they're going to be so shocked because worshiping their Jew and worshiping their Israel didn't save them. Now, we're getting ready to go. Now, we still got a couple minutes for a break. So what about that? What about these pseudo-Christians? They call themselves Judeo-Christians. And we always say that a Judeo-Christian is the same thing as a virgin whore. What do you think about that, Joannes?
I think that's great. So a Judeo-Christian is the same thing as a virgin whore. That makes perfect sense to me. No, a house that is divided in himself will not stand. And it comes down to, again, political speech is indicative of political will. So if it is then that these people call Israel the country that we must fight for, if it is so that they say that we must defend Israel, then they have clearly communicated themselves as the allies of Israel and the enemies of white people. Doesn't mean that people like that cannot be, come to new, cannot be saved for or are lost. But generally speaking, if they are relentless in that message, it does mean that they have declared themselves an enemy of our people. So, you know, it makes no sense how you can champion a foreign nation over your own and a foreign race over your own. So I find it detestable, and it is something that will only change once we get men of good moral character that are willing to rally people behind that, you know, the message of freedom for the white man and white unification and white politics. That's what we need. And what I always also want to say to the Americans especially is, because this is something that I hear repeated in South Africa, Donald Trump can't act against the Mexicans, or Donald Trump can't act against the blacks, for instance, because then he will lose votes or whatever. Donald Trump can act against the blacks. He just doesn't want to. Donald Trump can mention you. He can say, I stand for the white man. He just doesn't want to.
Bingo, bingo, because he went and prayed at the grave of that big, the most famous rabbi in the world up there in New York. With I don't have his name. His daughter converted over to a Jew. He gave his daughter to a Jew. Folks, we'll be right back after the show. We're going to bring on the bearded wonder himself, Rich Hammer. Be right back, folks.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I pretty much dropped all my napalm, and it was sincere. Some of it you may think is theatrics, but it's not. I get really worked up. But we have my brother. Listen, this guy here, I was telling Joanne about it, I think, on the phone. This brother, I rode with him to a place called Charlottesville, Virginia. We left August the 11th of 2017. The next morning, August the 12th, we went into sweet little Charlottesville, Virginia, and it was a hell of a battle. It got violent. It was, we stuck together. We marched over the all the detractors, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. We marched over their asses going into the park, and when it's over with, when the cops ran us out, we marched over their asses coming out. And Rich Hammond, my brother, was wounded there. He was knocked down and hurt. And I'm going to turn this thing over to Rich. Rich is going to ramble out the show here on out to the third hour. And so I'm just bringing him in now the breaks. But Rich, give us a little dose of that. Tell us a little, just a dab, how much you want to about Charlottesville, how you're wounded. And I told everybody, you know a lot more about the intricacies of politics about South Africa than I'll ever hope to know. So, but go ahead, Brother Rich.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you.
Your Highness, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been sort of binge watching some of your YouTube videos, and I've seen a couple of programs that you've done, and I'm very impressed with the breadth of your knowledge and the depth of it. And you seem to be hitting all the issues. I think you're pretty much on the same page as I am, and Eddie is to a great extent. And I applaud you for coming on to the show. Now, a little bit about my background. Yeah, good evening. A little bit about my background. I just turned 70. I've been to South Africa twice in the last, I guess, 5 or 6 years. My wife and I have been. We've traveled around the country the first time, primarily up in the Free State, up in the Northern Cape. And then the second time we went for the 120th anniversary of the Anglo-Boer War and went to a conference that was held at the museum in Bloemfontein. I found it very interesting. Saw a cross-section, I guess, of the white population there, the white normie population there, I would say. I didn't really detect anybody that was really radical there. But they all had a keen interest in their history, but even if they wouldn't say it. You know what I mean? They were, in a lot of respects, they were tame white boys. But we traveled around a lot, got to meet a lot of great people, mainly Bora. We stayed on a couple of farms and got a real taste for the spirit. The one farm we stayed on, the family had been occupying it for 9 generations. And the only way it escaped being burned by the British was because it happened to be inside the boundary of the Eastern Cape. So we have a real empathy for the Afrikaner speaking folk of South Africa. I find a lot of similarities between them and my Southern ancestors. I'm a proud descendant of Confederate soldiers, and my people know what it's like to fight oppression and be defeated, just like the Boer folk do. Now, tell me about yourself. How old are you? Tell me about your family. What's your occupation? Any details you want to let us know?
Thank you very much, sir. It's an honor to be able to speak with you. So my name is Cornelius Johannes Jacobus Achenbach, which is a family name. It's a great tradition in the among the Afrikaner people to pass down family names. It's interesting what you said about the Normie population in South Africa. You could see that there is this pride that, you know, urges to be let loose, but it's captured, and it's captured by the cowardice of our leaders. We as Afrikaner people do not have leaders. They are all a bunch of moral cowards that do not inspire our people to a pursuit of a future. They merely, you know, go by to get by. And I am a farmer myself. I'm a family man. I have 3 sons. God has blessed me with a wonderful wife and 3 sons. My fourth child our fourth child's on the way. I got into politics. Thank you very much. And it's not where I will be stopping, just to make that very clear. It's because many people today urge you to, you know, say there's no future for your children. I believe something very counter to that. I think the future is white. I think that things will change for us soon. But so I got into politics in 2016 when I was actually on my way to become a missionary. I was going to go and evangelize the blacks, but God very, very swiftly intervened and, stopped me from doing something like that, which would have been very detrimental. And I met then Pieter Groenewald. He's the leader of the Freedom Front Plus in South Africa, and he wished to introduce me to the political scene. I went to spend a day with him and the top 3 of the Freedom Front Plus. And, I spent the day in Parliament. And the reason why I didn't go into conventional politics, they sat me down and they said, Johannes, we think you've got some potential. We would like to make a leader out of you, but you need to get, you need to get involved on the municipal level and stuff like that. Show yourself, prove yourself, etc. But then when I was standing there in 2016, and I think it was June, July, I was standing in the office of Mr. Groenewald, and I asked him, Mr. Groenewald, tell me, how do you intend to reclaim our fatherland and give back to the Boer people what rightfully belongs to them? And I could see that this was the first time that the question was posed to the man, and the answer that he gave was just incoherent, you know, incoherent brabbling or rambling, sorry, about nonsensical nonsense. He had no idea how to conceptualize. Yeah.
In other words, he didn't want to talk about it.
Exactly. And then secondly, I told him that Donald Trump's going to win the election in 2016. And he said to me, there is no way that Donald Trump will win the election. Now, this is not to say that, you know, I said Donald Trump's going to win the election because I wanted him to. I could see that Donald Trump was going to win the election. And I thought to myself, how is a seasoned politician, how is it possible that he can't see this? How is he so disconnected from the people that he cannot see what the desire of the people is? And, you know, which is when I started my pursuit in politics. And I am self-taught. I am not a learned man. I don't have any degree. I left university because I got into it. It's not the only reason, but I didn't want to study the degree or the course that I was signed up for. And then one day there was this filthy sodomite that came, you know, approached me. Because he thought I was witty or whatever in his class, because I asked him a witty question or, you know, countered one of his ridiculous statements. And I refused to go back to his class. They said that they would challenge me before the student council. And I told them to, you know, shove their university, you know, where the sun doesn't shine. So I did not finish my degree, and I never, you know, pursued any avenues like that after that. But I am self-taught in, you know, politics, and I do pursue, I see myself as, you know, an activist and a firebrand for my people and the freedom of my people. I was a co-founder, actually the main founder and co-founder to the Vryburger Beweging. I'm also currently the leader of the Vryburger Beweging in South Africa, which is it's a movement. It is a movement to inspire a political will in our people.
Yeah. Now, does it? Do you have like a organizational structure? Do you have meetings and rallies? And I mean, how do you? Or are you strictly an internet presence?
We have got meetings, and we have got. We don't have rallies, but we have. We work or organize in an organizational capacity. We've got a manifesto that is out on the internet. We seek to build leadership structures and to push the envelope of what is acceptable to say in the political sphere.
Yeah, what's the average age of your membership?
The average age is 24.
That's great. That's great, actually, because that's the big problem we have over here with pro-white organizations is getting young people to join. They won't join the traditional ones. I belong to several that have been around a while, and you just can't get young people out to go to meetings. Now, we got a good turnout for Charlottesville. I mean, that's probably the biggest collection of activists I've ever seen. And by and large, they were young. I mean, Eddie says I got injured there. I just basically got knocked on my ass by a female Antifa, so I mean, I wasn't hurt to any extent at all. But we can talk more about that after the break. I hear music coming up.
We gave you the Silver Star.
Yeah, well, purple. You didn't give me a purple heart.
Yeah, we got that too in the mail. Hey, it's in the mail. Well, people, God bless y'all. I'm just having a ball, and I'm going to listen to y'all. I'll play this clip, about a 42-second clip, and we'll come back. I think I got it up on my computer. We'll be right back, folks. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.